Some people say the Bible tells us what to think. God tells us the Bible tells you to think harder as a Christian.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Dan, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about foreigners, strangers from other nations. What does the Bible say about how we should treat strangers? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Dan explaining how someone can change from foreigner to friend based on God's Word. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever been lost before? Have you ever been a stranger? It's hard for us to imagine that because it's not every day that we go over to a different country and we put ourselves in that situation. But sometimes you can feel like a stranger even around your own home. Maybe it's the people that are around you that you feel like you don't know, or maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel intimidated by moving to a new city. Maybe some of you are moving to the new city right now. Maybe you're starting a new school next year, or maybe you are going to a new job and you're surrounding yourself by strangers and putting yourself into one of those situations. Maybe it's not every day that you worry for your life, but you know that feeling inside that you have about being a foreigner and a stranger in a strange place. God tells us that that's not so bad to be reminded of that feeling about being a stranger. You know why? Because you and I were once strangers to Him. And He found us when we were lost. He found us when we were standing on the barrier, looking over the sea of people, wondering if I belong. And so my encouragement to all of you who are listening here is this. God has turned you from a foreigner and a stranger into a friend. And if you forget that God has turned you from a spiritual foreigner and stranger into a friend, if you lose track of that in your life, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to feel entitled. You're going to feel entitled like it's something that you have earned God's favor, that you have found God, that you have some kind of righteousness that makes you on the in crowd. And you're going to lose track of grace, the grace that found you when you were lost. So number one, if you lose track of this fact, you're going to be entitled. And you're going to feel like you earn God's favor and you don't receive His grace. And number two, you're going to treat other people, including strangers, with contempt because you feel like you deserve it and they don't. Are you with me? Okay, let's get into it. God talks about our relationship with Him. He turned us from foreigner to friend, and this is where we're going to go with this. Number one, by grace, we strangers become God's friend. And then the second part of the message today, we're going to look at as God's friends, we embrace strangers as well. God, throughout Scripture, throughout the whole Bible, one of the hallmarks of a believer is showing hospitality to foreigners and to strangers. In fact, there's three groups of people that God says, I want you to love all people, love your neighbor, but I want you to spend and care for these three groups of people especially. I want you to care for the orphan, the fatherless. I want you to care for the widow, those who have lost their spouse, especially an Old Testament woman who has lost her husband. Look after them. And I want you to look out for and treat strangers and foreigners with hospitality. Those three groups of people are people that God called His Old Testament church to show special hospitality to because they were often the ones that got pushed to the margin. They were the ones who didn't have the advantages of, let's say, a married female or a married male in a family structure. They were the ones that needed to be found. And by finding them, God was teaching them to play out a parable, the parable of God finding us in our lost condition as well. And so Moses is giving instructions to God's people, Israel. Moses has led them from Egypt, where they were what? Slaves, foreigners and strangers. And he has rescued them, brought them across the Red Sea, and he is now giving them their own land. And as they're getting their own land, God reminds them, remember, you were once strangers. Remember, you were once foreigners. And I want you to treat foreigners and strangers with the same kind of love and embrace that I treated you. So Moses is speaking here in Deuteronomy, and he's teaching his people before Moses passes on about how to treat other people, and he reminds them of God's grace. So you can read along with me. It is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting at verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens and the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him, and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky." He's saying to his Old Testament people, look, I found you when you were a stranger, and I took you in, and I gave you a home, and I made you a great nation. You were 70 people when I found you, a peanut nation, and I've made you into a great nation. And you know what? God would do even greater things through that. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, Pastor, this is all about this Old Testament the story of God talking with his people, but what does this have to do with us today? This is what it has to do with us today. God says, I'm going to take the nation that is not, the nation that's a foreigner, the nation that doesn't belong, the nation that has no military power, the weakest of the weak, and I'm going to give the most strength to this world because through that nation came a Savior that God gave to you and me. His name is Jesus Christ. And that Savior, Jesus Christ, would do something that's even greater than accepting and embracing a stranger on the street. He embraced you and me in our sin, and he forgave us by giving his life on the cross. That's why God says here in verse 16, circumcise your hearts. Circumcise your hearts? What's circumcision? Circumcision was a mark that was put on the males in Israel to mark them as part of the covenant. But God says, circumcise your hearts. How are you supposed to do that? Make a cut, make a mark on your heart. He's talking about the spiritual renewal, the spiritual rebirth, the spiritual finding of God reaching out and saying, I have found you, I forgive you, and I'm making you clean on the inside all the way out. And I want to make every foreigner know this. Every foreigner that comes in contact with you, Israel, I want them to know that they're loved, embraced, and that God loves them and embraces them by grace, and that's a gift that can only come from him to forgive all of your sins. So to you confirmands, when you stand up here in a couple of moments, God says, I have forgiven you. I've given you my life. I've given you a new heart, a heart that says, even though you've messed up and even though you will mess up, I've made you, turned you from a foreigner into a friend through your baptism, through the washing away of all of your sin. And that message is true for you too when you hear this and believe it. So what are we going to do with this? As believers, how are we going to live in our society? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. And we're going to close with two thoughts. And these two thoughts are just something to think about. The first one is this. You might be saying to yourself, but Pastor, this is all an Old Testament command to a nation when there was a theocracy and God was ruling and making the laws. This doesn't really apply to us today. And I would say yes, but no. Yes, this was a specific command for a nation and specific rules and laws that God was giving to his people, but no, when Jesus came and he walked this earth, he showed special attention and care. In fact, in the times that he called out people for their faith, their great faith, guess what? It was very often a foreigner and a stranger. Because those foreigners and strangers, when they encountered Jesus, like that centurion who had a servant that was sick in the house, and he called for Jesus, and Jesus came walking towards his house. He says, I'm not worthy, the centurion said, a Gentile to a Jew. I'm not worthy of having you come into my house. And Jesus says this, he says, I have never seen such a great faith. And he says, people are going to come from the east and the west to join in the family of Abraham. Because look at the faith of this stranger. It's not about the ethnicity, it's about the faith in that centurion's heart. In Acts chapter 6, the New Testament church, this is a hallmark of the church. There's a discrepancy between these widows, the widows who were Jews and the widows who were Gentiles. The widows who were Jews were being shown special attention while the widows who were Gentiles were being neglected in the distribution of food. And this was not a minor thing to the church leaders. The church leaders recognized that it was their responsibility to care for the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. And so they said, we're going to appoint deacons to make sure that there's no partiality. There's no partiality because God's love is for all people. And finally, we're going to answer these two questions. The first one is this, application. Take God's view of people first over a partisan view. I'm going to get to what that means in just a second. But I'm going to start this way. I have heard people say, and I know people that say, I have given up Christianity, I've given up God, because Christianity, the faith in the Bible, makes it that you do not think for yourself anymore. Have you ever heard that before? Christianity and faith in the Bible makes it that you don't think for yourself anymore. But I would argue that faith in God and faith in His Word actually makes you think harder about yourself and the world. And that those people that say that the Bible makes you not think for yourself don't want to think harder. And here's an example, okay? Let's say that you and I are meeting on the street, 21st century North Americans, and we're aware of the political tensions in our world today, in our country today. And you and I were talking, and the first thing that I say, and we get to talk about immigration in America. And one of the first things that I say is, I believe that we should love all immigrants. And that's the tone of my conversation. If you were to guess I was a conservative or if I was a liberal, you might guess I was a liberal just by that sentence, right? Reset. Let's say that you and I are talking on the street, meeting each other for the first time, and I say this. I say, I believe that laws are good and they protect lives. You might think to yourself, oh, he is a what? Conservative. He's a right-leaning guy. You're getting the lens wrong. You know what God's word says? God's word says that both those statements are true. You are to love the immigrant. You are to love the alien. You are to love. When people came to Jesus and they said, who should I love? Who's my neighbor? Jesus says, it doesn't matter where they came from. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how they got there. That person there, that is your neighbor that you are to love. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's view of that person, because what does God want for that person? Regardless of who they are, how they got there, God wants that person to turn into a spiritual friend of God through grace by Jesus Christ. What else is true is the second statement. God also says this. He says, laws, rules, and government are put into place for the protection of people. Romans chapter 13, you can read it for yourself. So instead of viewing a partisan view, laws and rules, they also protect lives and they're given to us by God. But God also wants us to live and love the foreigner and the alien. And God does this to us. He says, figure it out. Think for yourself. Did you remember what I said before? Some people say the Bible tells us what to think. God tells us the Bible tells you to think harder as a Christian. And I know that you might have a partisan view, but God is asking you to take a step back and think about your faith through the lens of the Bible. Okay, the final thing is this. How do you treat a stranger? How do you treat a foreigner and an alien? What are some tips? And we're gonna end with just a couple of tips. I'm adapting this from a really good article I found by a pastor in New York City who wrote an article, Public Faith and the Practice of Hospitality. His name is Jeff White. And he gives us 7 takeaways, and then we'll be done, about how to embrace other people and show hospitality. Number 1, embrace is more important than the place that it happens. very often we think that we have to create the exactly the right spot to show hospitality. The thing is that when you meet a stranger, you're probably not going to meet them in a place that you can prepare. And what's more important is thinking about the embrace of that person in the moment. The second one is like it. The second one is beauty is found more in the welcome and not in the space. Very often, when you meet a stranger, you can put a smile on your face, even if you don't feel like there's a smile coming on your face, and to say to them, I'm happy to see you. I'm glad that you're here. What's your name? Play 20 questions with them. The third one is this: recognize blurred lines between host and guest. I love this one because very often when you think of yourself as the one who's showing generosity, that person on the other side, they also sometimes want to show hospitality right back to you. And by them allowing them to bring a dish to the dinner, you're allowing them to enter into your space and to share what they can bring to this relationship. All right, number four, authentic and flawed versus acting perfect. We as Christians should know this better than anybody else. If we act perfect, we're going to expect that person to act perfect too. To allow yourself to show your flaws to other people, even strangers, to say, well, I didn't know that, if they tell you something that you didn't know, or to say, yeah, I've messed up in that way too, let me tell you my story, and instead of always being the hero of every story, but being and showing that you need grace, you can lead into authentic conversation about who makes you perfect. And who is it that makes you perfect? Your Savior and your God, Lord Jesus Christ. These are the ways that you can use hospitality to enter into those conversations. You don't have to pull back the whole rug. I've heard a pastor say you can pull back just a corner of the rug to show them that you're real. Okay, number five, active listening leads to meaningful conversation. That means picking up on what that person is saying, because very often what they're saying to you in conversation is what they want to talk about, or maybe a hurt that they have, and you can repeat that back to get into a more authentic conversation. Number six, gathering very different groups of people together is not something to be running away from, but it's actually a gift. And when you can get those people into community together, we can grow in our knowledge of one another, and we can put aside, once we get to know individuals, what assumptions we have about that other person, and we can grow into more authentic community. So remember, diversity is a gift, not something that we're scared of. And finally, number seven, hospitality is best shared in community. It's never a solo endeavor. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.